John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. My colleague, Captain Jerry Hendricks, is the author, Captain Jerry Hendricks, of a new book, To Provide and Maintain a Navy, Why Naval Primacy is America's First Best Strategy. Jerry's now outlined the last 400 years since a philosopher attorney, Grotius, very carefully constructed what we understand as a free sea, a free ocean, for commerce, for prosperity, for people of the earth to grow rich and happy and watch their grandchildren prosper. However, there have been caveats in between that are pertinent to here in the 21st century about operating close to land or near enough to land so that the issue is, what is the territory, what is the claim of the sea of the territory, and how far out does it go, and what can you do about people that may or may not challenge your claim? Jerry, what is the cannonball rule that developed in these last 400 years?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one of the most interesting historical questions, but it has dramatic implications for us in the world today. So at the time that Hugo Grotius was making his claim of the free sea, there were a number of entities, including the British and even some voices within the Dutch body politic, that said, no, we don't want a free sea. In fact, we want to extend territorial claims over large portions of the oceans so that we can control them almost as if they were territory. But the pushback was is that you cannot really control, you cannot claim what you cannot control. So there was an argument that said that unless you can exercise persistent military control over the sea, then you cannot claim it. And so there was this carve-out that was made in sort of the free sea theory, which is that of the territorial sea. In the beginning, this territorial sea was ruled by what we called the two-cannon shot rule, which was that because there was going to be an expectation of the increase of a capability, they would figure out how far a cannonball could shoot out at sea, and then they would double that, expecting that perhaps they would be able to extend the range of their cannons in the future. And that however far that was, then that was your territorial sea, because you could control that sea as if it was your territory from your land. And so this became that first carve-out. And so we had this idea of territorial seas. In the beginning, it was about 2 nautical miles. Now the territorial sea claims generally, you know, range between 8, in some cases, 12 nautical miles becomes a standard. There's also a 14 nautical mile claim. But this is as far as this has gone, is essentially these types of short distances away from land that nations can claim as their territorial seas. Now, there are some other things that have come up recently, such as extended economic zones, but those are not sovereign territory. The waters within your territorial seas are treated as if they were your territorial land. But here recently, several states, China and Russia being the leaders of them, have sought to begin to extend these claims. And they've doing that for a couple reasons. I'll just roll back to post-Cold War as the beginning point of this. After the Cold War ended, 1989, 1990, the United States fought a dramatic campaign against Iraq's incursion into Kuwait. And won rather overwhelmingly, and won with the use of new capabilities such as stealth, GPS-driven precision strike weapons, and quite frankly, just some outstanding maneuvering of land forces. And this shocked countries such as Russia and China. They looked at that and saw what the United States had done with regard to regime change strategies, and they feared that that was going to happen to them. China's fears were heightened just a few years later when there was a Taiwan Strait crisis where China was trying to intimidate the government on Taiwan not to elect a political party that was more in favor of independence for that island nation than the other party. And so they tried to launch some missiles as a means of intimidating. And the United States sailed a carrier strike group through the Taiwan Strait and then put an amphibious strike group with Marines through that strait as well. And this embarrassed the Chinese, caused them to lose face. And so the Chinese began to invest in a series of weapons, which we now call anti-access air denial weapons, in an effort to push the United States farther and farther away from its shores. Its thoughts is if the United States cannot get close enough to be able to project power into our country, then they would not be able to affect a regime change. And so, and Russia has done similar investments as well with missiles and radars and sensors and aircraft. And what's happened is, flash forward 30 years, and what we've seen is the Chinese have made a territorial sea claim over the South China Sea. They've made hints of claims over portions of the East China Sea. And Russia has made vast territorial sea claims over portions of the Arctic Ocean to its far north. All of these things run counter to the concept of the free sea. And all of them, if they're left allowed to stand and become precedent, could really undermine the global system of trade that the United States and its allies have labored so long to build. And so this is the challenge we face today, is that China is essentially saying, hey, look, you know, the original territorial sea claim was based upon how far you could project your power from shore to control the sea and to be able to have a military impact upon the sea, the two cannon shot rule. Well, my cannon shots today are long-range anti-ship missiles that can reach thousands of miles out into the ocean, or short-range cruise missiles that go hundreds of miles out into the ocean. So if I can do that, am I not upholding your Western law of territorial sea claims? Can I not just amend it and update it for the modern aspects of today's with the weapon systems, sensors that we have today? And that's the challenge that we're facing as a Navy, and really, as you know, Western civilization today, is these extended territorial sea claims and their impacts.
Jerry, quickly, what is the freedom of navigation operation, and how does it connect to this claim that the sea is owned and the ability of the U.S. to say, no, it's not, it's a free sea? We have 2 minutes, Jerry. Go ahead.
So the United States, you know, first of all, it's not just China, it's not just Russia. In fact, there's a number of nations that go and make these sort of excessive territorial sea claims, or what we call excessive baseline claims, where they try to redraw the maps on what is their territorial seas. The United States, in an effort to counter that, we have sort of a standard routine of places that we're going to go and sail our U.S. Navy ships, and we will sail them through these waters that have been excessively claimed in order to demonstrate that, no, that is not your territorial sea, this is the free sea, and I will demonstrate that by sailing my warship through these waters. And if you choose to come out and try to stop me, then that could lead to conflict. And then you raise the question with them, is that what you want? Do you want to have a conflict with the United States and its Navy at sea? And for much of the last 70 years, no one has wanted to do that. But the problem today, John, is because of what has been going on with our investments in our Navy, people are beginning to look at these areas and deciding to come out and perhaps challenge the United States. But yes, freedom of navigation operations, such as what we do in the South China Sea near these artificial islands or up in the Arctic, is there to demonstrate the U.S. believes that these to be free seas, and then are moved to demonstrate that they are in fact free seas by sailing our ships through them.
Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy, aviator retired. The book is To Provide and Maintain a Navy, Why Naval Primacy is America's First Best Strategy. What Navy do we need when we come back? What do we have now? What do we need? And what is the right mix for the challenge of the 21st century? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.